Tonight I'm turning to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to the disciples, the apostles that he were about to leave when he has risen from the dead and he was about to ascend to the Father. And so this, we continue our studies on the Holy Spirit, his work, and last week we looked at the Spirit work as the Spirit of adoption, and that we learned how he operates in believers and true believers to make them sensible of their portion in the privileges and rights of God's children, that he is the one who makes us to be sensible of these things, to know how the love of God is shed in our heart, to know our belonging to the Lord, and as we know, he makes us to be able to pray as we ought, and all the blessings of grace, he makes us to be aware how we can draw them from the Lord. And as we also learned that the Lord Jesus Christ, God through his Son Lord Jesus Christ, is adopting children, adopting sinners like us by the work of Jesus Christ, his redemptive work on the cross of Calvary. He's making sinners such as us that he saves to be the joint heirs of Christ, to be part of his family, and to become his children. So that whoever he saves, through regeneration and sanctifying work, and he brings us to be part of his family, and prepare us for glory. So the ultimate end is to glorify us, to make us dwell with him forever, with that perfect nature which will know no sin. So this is the work of the Spirit, which he applies to us through the redemption work of Christ. It's he who gives life to us who are dead in sin and trespasses, to be able to be aware of our sinful state, to repent and to believe on Lord Jesus Christ, and to be saved, and also sanctify us and work in us to be sanctified day by day, so that we'll be able to desire the will of God, to obey him and to submit to him, to live and to please him. So that's what he does by this spirit of adoption, to make us aware of these things and to make us partake in these things, even while here on earth. As we are also told that he is the seal of our redemption. He being given to us to dwell in us, testify of our final redemption, that God who has saved us from sin will finally take us to heaven. So tonight we will continue our studies on the Holy Spirit, and today we will look at the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. When the Lord Jesus Christ told the apostles, the immediate disciples, that the Holy Spirit will come, he promised them that he will come. He also gave the details on his work, what he was coming to do, and his because he was coming to replace him on earth. Jesus Christ was here physically, but then the Spirit will come and replace him. So all that he was to the disciples and to believers, the Spirit was coming to continue the same way. So the difference was the difference would be that the Spirit would be invisible while Christ was visible, but the work of our salvation, the work to perfect us, the work to lead us in the things of God, is to be the same way. So he told us many of the things, but one of the things he has told us in the scripture is the bestowal of spiritual gifts on believers. And as we read in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the empowerment there has connection with this bestowal, the giving of the Spirit to them. But ye shall receive power, but after But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all the unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So the Spirit coming to them was to come to empower and qualify them for the various ministries. He is to come to bestow gifts that will empower believers and to qualify what they were in the Church of Jesus Christ, who you have offices and various positions that will lead these people, and also the various capabilities to be able to do so, and all these spiritual strength, and all these are to be given by the Holy Spirit, and these are all the spiritual gifts, all included in the spiritual gifts that were to be given. So for empowerment and to qualify for the various ministries of the church, the apostles themselves and subsequently believers. So it's a very necessary thing, because we know that until the, as you see, before the Holy Spirit came, the apostles were like, I mean, cowards, people that cannot even stand in the face of any to proclaim the gospel. And we see Peter, when Jesus Christ was going to crucify, he has to deny him because of the fear and all that. And even after he rose up, they were still in a doubtful state. They weren't sure what they were going to do. But then, as we go, we see that the Holy Spirit will come. When he comes upon them, things will change for them. So he told the apostle that, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And the word power here, you know, a charismatic friend will always think of the miracles. But then, if you look at the context, the power is connected to the witness, even generally to the witness, to the work of preaching. And it's not merely the miracles that, as we go, we'll see some of those. But then, the first thing we think of the Spirit coming is the empowerment for witness, merely for witness. It's not about the Christ and his the work he came to do for the redemption of sinners. And Apostle Paul also added in Ephesians 4:12, said that the gifts are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the gifts are not merely as this. I mean, people think of, when they think of the gifts and the power, they are thinking of the miracles and healings and all those things. But then you see the two things, the witnessing part and that of what? The perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the defying of the body of Christ. So I move on. My first point here is the purpose of the spiritual gifts. The purpose of these two verses gives us, at least, to use what they are to be done. The gifts are to do for us. So the gifts of the Spirit were to empower the apostles first. So you see, it was to empower them first to proclaim the gospel of Christ in the whole world. That was their task. And this task, until they are given this special supernatural power, they cannot. And not just to preach the gospel, they were also to organize those whom God will save into church states. It was their duty to do that, and they need the presence of the power, the presence of the Spirit too, so that the church, that is, they were established bodies of believers for the worship and service of God, and also mutual care of believers. You know that before the Spirit came, the New Testament church did not exist, because they were there as, I mean, believers. They didn't even know what the next thing to do. So they were to preach, and as we, let me just read to you from Matthew 28:20 about this fact. Matthew 28:20, verse 19. Okay, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So they were to preach and baptize those who are saved, they baptize them, but to teach them to observe. That has to do with the church I mean, how the Christ Church ought to be organized and things that have to be done as a church. Sometimes people think that, well, there isn't any clear, examples of how church ought to be organized. But if you study the epistles, they are there. It tells us the things church has to do and how church have to operate and all that. So they were to do that. So the apostles who were given this task, and they need their gift to do that, and the power and the strength. And this, they were to wait on the Spirit. And subsequently, the Spirit will still empower believers in every age to continue this great task the apostles started. So that is why after the apostles passed, there was continuation of the church work even to our time. But the apostles were gone. Their work is there for us to, as a party, we look at what they have done to organize our churches. So you see. So the first thing is their empowerment to begin the work, and then subsequently the church, believers will continue. But there were there were some of the gifts that were given to them alone for this work, which was needful for their time and for their task. And there were some of the gifts which will continue with the church to the end of the age. So as we go up, when we get to that side, we'll try to distinguish between the two. So we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, builds the church by the work of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think Jesus Christ builds his church, but he's not here. He does so by the work of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit empowerment of believers, then Christ's work is done. He is the head of the church, but all that he does is through the Holy Spirit in nurturing people into the faith and empowering them and also guiding them when they are formed into a body of believers, as we say, church. So he nurtures the church, he empowers the church, he guides the church. But he does all this through the work of the Spirit. So Christ is the head. Every true body of believers, today we have so many organizations that are called churches, but many of them don't even know what church actually means, because many of these churches accept, yes, you just come and you are just a member. They don't even care about what it means to be a member of a church. They just think, well, you have come to join, that's so. But the Bible has shown who is a true, ought to be a true member of Christ Church. So the patterns are there, we are to learn them. The pattern is there for us. So the gift of the Spirit were procured for the church by Christ. When we think of the gift of the Spirit, we don't disassociate Christ from it. It is His. He procured them for us. Though the Spirit gives us the gift, but it's through Him. When people, believers in Him, that He gave this gift, if it is genuine. Because some people claim to have the gift, but they don't even know what it is to be saved. I wonder how they even have. Because true gift of the Spirit is through those who are being born again through the work of Christ in Calvary, who have been regenerated by the Spirit and being ushered into the sanctification work of the Spirit, who are really testing after God, who are really desire the things of Christ. And it is only this alone that God indeed deals with perfect, when you come to this thing. So we have Ephesians 4:7-8. It tells us Christ procured a gift for us. In Ephesians 4:7-8, we are told, but unto everyone is of us, Apostle Paul himself, and he's talking of the believers in general, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Not all men, but believers, all men everywhere in the world, all those who believe in him, he gave them gifts. So the gifts were procured for us by Christ, and the Spirit comes to give it to the church, you see. So it is Christ who gave us this gift. It is His to give, and they are His which He procured for us. Because we are also told in the Bible that it was Christ who was to baptize believers with the Holy Spirit. Remember the testimony of John the Baptist in Matthew 3:11. He said that, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And this has to do with the Spirit incoming on believers to empower them, to give them all that they need to really become believers and the work that they have to do. So this, the Holy Ghost coming and everything he has to do is by Christ, the head of the church. So, you know that this verse, also people are going to say, well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when you are saved at one time and you wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The teaching people teach, which is totally wrong. Because anyone who is born again, he has the Spirit. The day we are regenerated, the day we are born again, we have the Spirit. Because without the Spirit of Christ, in John chapter, Romans chapter 8, we are none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are not. So how can you be a Christian? How can you be a believer without the Spirit? They that are without the Spirit of Christ, they are none of his. So the baptism of the Spirit, just the Spirit coming to the believer when he was converted. So that is it. I mean, that teaching is totally out of Scripture. He that without the Spirit of Christ is none of his. So how do you become Christ, a Christian later? You wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's totally wrong. It's not true. So we are born again. We are baptized with the Spirit, which is separate from the water baptism. And we even receive the baptism of the Spirit before water, because those who are genuinely born again, they are those who go to be baptized by water. But the spiritual baptism comes first. It is that which makes us Christians. It is that which makes us believers in Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to him and we repented of sin, we trusted in him and he saved us. See? But then the Holy Spirit first came on the believers who were assembled at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 1 we just read, and chapter 2 tells us, because chapter 1 tells us when they were together, who were, then they were waiting, and chapter 2 tells us his coming, the coming of the Holy Ghost on them. That was the first time the Holy Spirit came on believers. And as I said, that the church of Jesus Christ did not exist. Not that in the Old Testament they were believers, but we talk of the church of Jesus Christ as after his work of redemption was started when the Spirit came upon the believers at the day, Acts chapter 2, where we have the day of Pentecost, that particular day. However, I mean, if you read Acts chapter 2, there were some visible signs. We are talking about the cloves of tongues, and there were mighty, sound of wind. Those accompaniments never occurred again whenever the Spirit comes to a believer. It was just the first time those visible signs appeared. And it tells us how God, in the beginning of things, do something that he doesn't continue. Then, if there were things, some of the things were to continue, like anytime the Spirit will come to the believer, there will be a kind of visible, manifestation of some kind of shaking and all that, but no, it was just one time. But then the Spirit is still with every true church of Christ. Every true believers, every true church of Jesus Christ. As I said, we have so many groups that call themselves churches. Any genuine believer would not call some of them churches, because they don't even care what the Bible teaches about what it is to be a believer or a church. So the church, the Bible is the manual for church. We don't have any manual. If you take away the Bible, we don't have any manual. So if a church discards what the Bible teaches about the church, they are not Christians, they are not a church. But every true believer, the Spirit is still with them. He regenerates the new convert. He sanctifies every true believer, and then he bestows spiritual gift for his service. Every true church witnessed these things of the Spirit. Regeneration, those who are born again and brought into the church, and those who have been saved already, his sanctifying work in them to conform them to the image of Christ. And then the bestowal of spiritual gifts to enable believers to serve, to do all that we have to do. So every true church of Jesus Christ, from day one up to day, experienced these things. And as I said, the church of Jesus Christ actually came into existence only when the Spirit came miraculously at that day, when we call the outpouring of the Spirit, and then the assembled disciples, and the church of Jesus Christ was first established at Jerusalem. So the first church to experience the spiritual gift of the Spirit was the Jerusalem church, where the apostles were and other disciples, where we are told Mary and the mother of Jesus Christ was even there. All the disciples were there, but then that was the first time the Spirit came. So when the Spirit gave his gifts, he came and his gifts were bestowed. We read of the manifestation of miraculous gifts. Manifestation of miracles. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, we read of this. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. So the gifts, miraculous gifts of tongues were first experienced by this manifestation. And we also told in verse 43, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So you see, when before they couldn't have any, they couldn't do anything, but now we see the changes. There's a the miraculous gift given, and also we see the boldness to witness. In Acts chapter 2, verse 14, we read of Peter and the apostles. When they have spoken, the tongues were spoken, and the people were amazed and wondering. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of. Sorry. Ye men of Judea. On it, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my word. Then he began to preach. The boldness, you know, Peter, the coward Peter, the fearful Peter, is now bold to speak to thousands of people because he has now has the Spirit to empower him. And also, verse 42, we see the organization of the church there. And there, that all the believers continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You see, there were the miracles, there was the witnessing, and there was the fellowship of believers, the worship and the fellowship of the. They gathered the apostles, they continued steadfast in apostles' doctrine. It talks of the instruction that were given to the church. And so there was this organization, there were the miracles that were manifested, there was the witnessing, and there was this fellowship and worship of the church. All the same time when the Spirit came on the apostles and the disciples in general. So that was one aspect. That was the first thing they are thinking of, his coming and the gift that was bestowed. So now we think of the various spiritual gifts. The various spiritual gifts. But for the purpose of this study, I will only distinguish between the gifts that is those that were revelatory, and also for the authentication of the apostles, which we call the sign gifts, which ended after their era, which ended with their work, and also those that are to be permanent in the church. I will just speak because we don't have time to deal with, go into all the gifts and what it means and all the, but at least the information about the, these are the two things that always confuse many, and there's always confusion that, well, the gifts to us, all the gifts are supposed to continue, and when you talk to others, no, look at how the Bible says, oh, no, all the gifts are supposed to continue, so we have to continue to experience all the miracles, gifts, and all that. But then, if you read the Bible, the text that concerns the gifts and their purposes, you realize they are distinct. I mean, there's a distinction, and there's differences, and they are for different purposes for the church. So we will look at those which were revelatory, and that which authenticate the apostles themselves, because there was a promise to give them, to authenticate them, and those that will be permanent. So I'll read to you the passages that speaks about the gift in general. I will not really comment. I'll just read to you. We go to Romans chapter 12, 3 to 8. That's, we have Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. For I say, by Apostle Paul speaking, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt so to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exalteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Okay, so this the gifts we are given here, and some of the gifts are like for the officers of the church. Some are also to additional gifts for the officers of the church. For instance, who will be a teacher? Who have the gift of teaching? Is the pastor or the elder in the church? But you see, there's a gift of teaching here. And who will do the exaltation is the pastor, teacher of the church. Not just some are doing the pastor, and some will be the teacher or exaltation. But people try to divide them, but it's not possible. Whoever will be the pastor will definitely teach. Whoever will do exaltation, and we have showing mercy and other things. But then I'm not going to categorize them as it is. I just want to let it be as it is. But then I just wanted to know that the gift when they mentioned, it just mixed up in the Bible. But then there are other verses of scripture that tells us that those there were some that were specifically for the apostles. So then we see the difference. So here, this one of the texts we have also. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11. Now there are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration by the same Lord, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So here also he makes them up the same way. And here particularly, we have some of the gifts that were miraculous gifts, and others that are not, but he has mixed them up. Okay, so let's look at the other ones also. We have some in verse 28 to 31. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues. Okay, so here also, he mixed up the offices and that of some of the gifts and capabilities. And as I said earlier on, definitely, you know, the apostles perform miracles, and then they also taught. So definitely, some of the gifts, as I said, the same person may have, some of the gifts may cut across. They also spoke in tongues, and we have government also, which will cut across the apostles and the pastor teachers of the churches, which later on I think I will touch on. But I just want you to put this in your mind. It's a mixture. It doesn't mean that in the same church, well, one will be the teacher, and as I said, one will be maybe the healer, and the other will be help. No, it is the same kind of the capabilities. One person may have more of those things at the same time. So we have Ephesians 4:7. Ephesians chapter 4:7-13. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So here he mentions particular offices in the church, particular offices. And you realize that subsequently, as I say, I will come to that, at the end of the day, some of the offices will not be permanent in the church. So it tells you that some of the gifts also will not be permanent in the church. So we have here the apostles, the prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastor teachers. I'll come to that. But these are the passages that we have all the gifts captured for us. So our first observation on this is that the sign gifts or the authenticating gifts were promised only to attend the ministry of the apostles alone. The sign gifts, the miraculous gifts, were only promised to attend to the ministry, not just only to them, because in their time, for instance, tongue speaking, it wasn't only the apostles who spoke in tongues with the miracles. There were others who were not, but it was in their era. It was to attend to their ministry. And this is where it began. In Mark chapter 16, look at Mark chapter 16, verse 7 to 18. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Some say, well, this is for every believer. But I'm sure you know that every good student of the Bible will not agree that every believer has this. And it's never real that every believer has this. But then, this sign shall follow them that believe. The them here was a reference to the disciples, particularly the apostles themselves, Jesus was talking to. In the ESV Bible, it says, and these signs will accompany those who believe, who accompany them as they work. That's what it means. So in verse 13 of the same chapter 16, verse 13, the disciples, we are told that the disciples did not believe in his resurrection. We are told, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. And in verse 14, Jesus met them and reproved their unbelief, which we have here. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. Look at how they are single, the 11. Them, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they, that the 12, the 11, they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So, the context was the apostles who were not believing, were doubting that the Lord has risen. So, and now in verse 15 to 16, then he gave them the command to go out. It was the apostles. There were other disciples, but this was directed to the apostles, because we are told that they were those who were not believing. But he gave them the command to go out and preach the gospel. And then he promised this miraculous gift to them. And he said that if they believe in him as their resurrected Savior, the following miracles will accompany their work. It will accompany their work. And that is how the context is. It was a them, doesn't refer to those who believe from the preaching. It was to those apostles, the 11, who were doubting. Because we are told in verse 14, and after he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief. And that means that all of them, the 11, were doubting about his resurrection. And yet these were those who were supposed to go out to witness for him. So then he added this to them. And so the miraculous gifts were to authenticate them as the eyewitnesses of Christ's work to the world as he has promised them. In John 15, 27, look at, before he himself went to be crucified and he died and resurrected, look at, he has told them this. John 15, 27, and he also, referring to the 11 then, the 12 then, he, before Judas was taken away, ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The apostles' work was different from any other believers. They were to be the eyewitnesses of Christ. And none was, even the other disciples didn't have that close connection to Christ. And the Peter testifies of this peculiar way that belonged to them in Acts chapter 10, 41 to 42. He says that, referring to Jesus Christ, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, the apostles, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. So Peter, referring to their commission, unto us, not any other people. Here he was not referring to the general disciples, but unto us. Remember, in John 15:27, Jesus Christ told them, and ye also shall bear witness. And Peter said, we witnesses chosen before of God. They were purposely chosen. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ selected them among the disciples when he began his ministry.
because he had a special task for them. That's when we were always called 12, 12, 12. Judas left and he was called 11. Okay. Apostle Paul also called this miraculous gift signs of an apostle. In 2 Corinthians 12, 12, he said, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The word signs were marks or indications of an apostle. That's what it means. The signs of an apostle, indication that the person is an apostle, so that their work will carry on those signs to authenticate them. Because they could do supernatural things to confirm their work. Else, in Hebrews also, we are told, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. It wasn't just any other disciple, but them, they refer to the apostles. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So that them, the apostles, the eyewitness, and you know, Peter himself can write that we were the eyewitnesses of his majesty. Apostle John also writes, we the word of life which we have seen, which our hands have handled. This were given a peculiar task, and they were to accomplish. And these gifts were given. So from the Mark accounts, we were told they were afraid. Jesus Christ, told them, those who believe and go on, these signs will follow them. Not those who believe in the apostles did not perform miracles. Do the things that are told here. Not all of them did that. Some of them in the apostolic era also performed miracles and did some of the signs. They were the church at Corinth. There were many who were speaking in tongues and all that. But then it was in the apostolic era where they were their work was being done. It was the same era. So you see, it was in the same period of that. It was to accompany their work. That's what Christ has said. But people try to say, well, it means that all believers will do. No. Who were eyewitnesses of Christ's work? It was the apostles. Not even the general disciples. They can bear witness, because Luke and others even later have to. But then, the Bible tells us the apostles were unique. Luke and others were even subservient to the apostles in their work. That's why, at the point when Barnabas, Apostle Paul, was taken to be part by the Lord, by the apostles, Barnabas had a confusion with him. Barnabas departed, but Apostle Paul was the one Barnabas has to listen to. But he didn't listen, and he followed out with him. But then, that was the testimony. Apostle Paul himself said that through the signs of an apostle, the marks, indication of an apostle. Not just the word apostle means a sent one, but then when it is used in the sense of this chosen people of 12 and later 11 and later the Apostle Paul, it refers to these peculiar eyewitnesses of Lord Jesus Christ. So even when we examine the Acts of the Apostles, it confirms this, that their work were accompanied with this miraculous gift. It was displayed everywhere the gospel was preached by the apostles, and in their company, all those who were working with them. Okay, another aspect of this gift, the revelatory gift, because there were the miracles, which were general, which was the miracles, and but there were other aspects like the revelatory gift. They were also given for the purpose of teaching in the early church, and also to aid the apostles to write the New Testament scriptures. And this is also obvious, as the early churches didn't have the complete scripture. They had only the Old Testament. So how would the church be instructed? It must be given to them this way. So also the apostles were to write the New Testament scripture. So they needed prophetic gifts so as to be inspired writing. So the prophetic gifts were needed at the time. They were going to write the scriptures. How are they going to do it? They need prophetic gifts to have revelations and visions so that they can put their scriptures down. Look at the vision of John, Apostle John in the island of Patmos. It was given to him as revelation for the church. So they received God's authority to lay down common faith and practices for the church throughout all ages till Christ return. Read the epistles, it is so all over. All over. That they receive such authority to do that. And all true churches of Jesus Christ are to be instructed by the teachings of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2:20. The foundation of the church, the thing the church, the doctrines and the truth the church has to build upon. But what teaches tells us, the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. All that they taught should be the foundation teachings of the church. And it was through this prophetic revelatory gift they were able to do that. And also in 2 Peter 3:2, that we Peter also tells us that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and the Savior. Look at that. He joins the authority with the prophet of old and the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a peculiar task to do, and they were given gift for that purpose. And again, in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture, definitely the primary reference was to the Old Testament, but then the New Testament also, where writers were inspired. So, inclusive of old and new, all scripture is given by God through the Spirit, giving them, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How can I walk to please God? The scriptures, all the New Testament, they are the only revelation of the Holy Spirit for equipping believers to every duty that pleases God. That's what it says. For believers to be able to please God and know His will, it is the scriptures, the Old and New Testament, given by the prophets and apostles for the church. So you see, so they have a specific task to do. So our third thought is that the miraculous and the authenticating gifts were to cease after the apostles had finished their work. Because if it was given to them for their work, then obviously, when their work have ended, they should also cease. Some people tell, well, it was not written that the miracles will cease, but then, looking at the promise, it was to them that they were promised this miraculous gift, and it was for their work, to accompany their work. So if they are no more, and the church is going on, their work is there, their work, what they did is the foundation of the church, but their person are no more. So the gifts, those miraculous gifts, cannot accompany anyone again, because it was given to them for their work. And as this, like Christ himself, in his human body, he had the Spirit coming on him. But after his work ceased and he went up to heaven, his work was ended. And all that he was to do, everything he did was ended. In that sphere of his work on the cross of Calvary, that all that he has to take to do was ended with him. Nobody can assume the position of Christ for the church again, only the Spirit. And apostles also, their position were not to be successive. Others should take no. After they are gone, they are gone. Apostle Paul himself did not install apostles in churches. He installed elders, pastors in churches to take care of the church. So that you see that the churches established, though they were there, but after they were gone, it was the elders, teachers, pastor teachers that were supposed to take care of the church. Because that is what we have in the scripture. So as I said, it's obvious that the miraculous gifts ought to cease with the apostles. The Bible don't need to tell us that they are going to cease, because it was given for their work. And after their work, the powers that Moses had to take them through the wilderness, after they came to the promised land, there was none who had that powers again. God did not tell them, well, Moses is going, so nobody will have the power. No, it was seized after his ministry was ended. Who had, the power to do the miracles? Moses did not. You see? So, the Bible doesn't need to tell us, well, this are going to end at this time. But it tells us whom it was given. It was given to particular people. And the Bible tells that their work has ended. And if their work is ended, what have you to do with other things that accompany their work? So we have here that all the accompanying, God, I mean, they are positioned as apostles was a gift, but we are told that in, I think, Ephesians 4, we are told Ephesians 4, verse 11, for he gave some apostles and some prophets. Some people think that, well, the gift of apostles here is different from the apostolic office. So that so God gives apostles, I mean, I don't know how they explain it. Is it just a reference to their special class as apostles for the church? Well, in Jerusalem, even in the time of the apostles, they were elders. They have even installed elders in the church at Jerusalem. So that when they were gone, the elders definitely took over the church. So you see, so when the matter of Apostle Paul, they took the matter to Jerusalem to discuss about the Gentiles and the Jewish, the Jewish people think the Gentiles should be circumcised and do all that the ceremonial law requires. When they went there, they were the elders and the apostles. They were there. You see, they were there, and the, which is the elders. So, give such a tongue speaking, which is the ability to speak languages, not learned by the speaker. The interpretation of such tongues, the ability to also interpret these things to the church, to understand the whatever message it was. Also, the prophecy, which had the teaching, which were also to help teachers by inspiration and predicting future things that concern the church, which also helped the apostles to write the Bible. Discern of spirits. Remember, Apostle Peter was able to discern the heart of Ananias and Sapphira when they were deceiving the spirit, they were deceiving the church. This was the particular gift for the church. The working of the miracles, that all the ability to raise the dead, casting demons. And we are told that when they drink poison, to not hurt them. When they touch snake, to not hurt them. I know that there's a church in America. There's a group. They practice snake handling, and sadly many they die. Sometimes it's a their churches today like that. I'm forgetting their name. They practice the snake touching snake, and so the pastor will preach for these snakes. And if you read that, the snake will bite him and then he dies. It's sad, you see. The Bible doesn't warrant us to do that. You can't do them. And I don't know no one, any Christian who can claim these things. I mean, you know, Apostle Paul himself handled a snake when he was collecting a wood after the shipwreck. It didn't bite him. I mean, people thought he was even dead. Those were the marks that he was an apostle. Those were the testimony which the Bible teaches us. But then what we have, so the people trying to imitate these things, and what they do, they think is what the Spirit gives. It's never true. So we have the working of the miracle, and also the healing, ability to heal all manner of disease, illnesses. And I'm sure we all know the kind of miracle people do today, and all the stories about. But apostles were genuine healers. The man that Peter and John healed was real. The man, I mean, all the healing that, I mean, whatever they did were real, you see. And they were all recorded for us, which the evidence are there for us. So, this that was it. And also, fourthly, which will be our last thought on this gift of the Spirit, other gifts of ordinary kind, such as pastors and teachers, as well as their accompanying gifts, were meant to be permanent. You know, they were gifts of mercy, government, and that is the just, I mean, it has to do with the organization of the church in general, and those were not miraculous gifts per se. Pastors and teachers, they were gifts from the Spirit, but they are not like the apostles and those miraculous gifts that they were given. And also, this is obvious that this gift will be permanent in the church, because the churches that Apostle Paul founded, he left them in the care of elders in each church. He didn't leave the church in the care of prophets or apostles. He left them in the care of pastors, which is the elders. In Acts chapter 20, we are told that at Ephesus, when he was parting, he called the elders who were in charge of the church to charge them. And also, he gave the qualification of the elders, which is the pastor teachers, to Timothy and Titus, that he left them behind, or he sent them there to do this work. He sent them there not to install prophets and all, but to install pastors, elders in the church. That tells us this position were to remain in the church throughout all ages. So in 1 Timothy 3:7, chapter 3, 1-7, you see there how elders, pastors of the church to be selected, are given. Not that of apostles and prophets and other things. Titus chapter 1, 5 to 9 also, we have everything. And you know, one of the qualifications is apt to teach. And in Titus, it said that they should be able to, let me read that. I think Titus 1 is more, Titus chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. It says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanted, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. If any be blameless," I want to say something. Like verse 9. Okay, but verse 8, "by a lover of, hospitality. These are works of mercy," which we, so we know that when we're looking at the gift, we're works, I mean, gift of mercy and other things. Hospitality will be, I mean, somebody who had that, have been given that grace of mercy can be a hospitable person to others. And so the pastors were giving, some of the government and other, were giving to those who are supposed to lead the church. And we have verse 9, "holding fast," look at their qualification, "holding fast the faith, faithful word, as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort, to convince the gainsayers." That's one of the duties of the pastors of the churches. They were not just there to claim revelations and whatever, do miracles, but they were, their tasks are given to us. Their task is to manage the church. Else we are told that they should be able to manage their house. Well, if they are not able to manage their house, how would they manage the church of God? So the elders were to be the pastor, teachers of the churches, and their tasks were to oversee, care, instructive role in the church. And in this particular duty, all the gift that of government, of mercy, whatever, exhortation, teach, will be given unto them. If they are to take care of the church, they have to instruct, they have to check errors, they have to make sure the church is organized well. This is the gift they need. But you see, when the Bible, the gifts were given, they were just mixed up. And people just, they would say, as if in the church there should be somebody who teaches, there will be somebody who gives exhortation, there should be somebody who prophesies. And what have you? You see? Because they want to tell us that, well, these things have to continue. No. Definitely, some of the gifts will be given to those who lead the church. And even the tongue speaking, for instance, definitely, because it was a revelatory gift, it will be given to those who we teach. It wouldn't mean that, well, we have gathered and somebody, well, he just came up and just he has revelation and he's speaking in tongues. No. In that chapter, Paul said that everything should be done decently in order. You see, he charges, in Ephesians, he charges the elders to feed the flock. How, I mean, and how would they be there and then the revelation would be given to somebody who is not the elder to feed the flock? It's not possible. So we just have to reason how the scripture put things together. People don't want to reason, they just want to, well, the gift we're giving, so to continue, and they just try to say whatever they want. But if you think through scripture very well, you see that there's order and it is well put for us. One of the evidence that the miraculous gifts even were not permanent in the church was in James himself was an apostle. James 5:14, he was exhorting the church if somebody is sick. He said that, "Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Seeking just, though they seek God's healing, which is, well, to come miraculously, but then praying. The elders praying, not the apostles, coming, calling a gifted healer to come and heal the person. Pray for the sick, as we do, as every genuine church does. You see? Because if these gifts, miraculous gifts, were to be permanent in the church, I mean, why would he give this instruction? This was to be permanent, the elders of the church, not the apostles of the church. For their time, the prophet, and it has to be done away with the time of the apostles. And indeed, church history, after the demise of the apostles, church history tells, if you read church history, there was nothing like that. So I think around AD 157 and 170, where this man called Montanus and his group said that, I mean, the church has by mistake, by effort, let the gift of the Spirit to go. So they were reclaiming and they begin to do some things. And you know, the truth, churches knew they were false. Montanus, it was called, that group was called Montanism. Around AD 157 to 170. You know, they think that the miracle gave the church has left its group. I know it was the way of the Lord that it shouldn't continue. And you know, every, like the Pentecostal movement, the charismatic, all this movement, when they started, as if there's no fire in the church, the spirit is not there, so let's do something. And then they begin to, they say they're going to imitate what is in the scripture. And you know, all the things that comes with it. And as if the, when the spirit comes to people, it takes away their own intelligence. When people, like the Azusa Street movement, as if when the spirit comes, just like the tongues people speak, the tongues in the Bible are not Hibaba. They were languages, that earthly languages that were unknown to the speaker, but he speaks. Or the Hibaba, what language is this? And the interpretation, who interprets what? So you see, we don't have time to go, but I mean, this, my purpose is to just show that the gifts, there were some that were supposed to stay with the church, and others that were to go away with the apostles. And that's what the scripture teaches us. And that's what the gift of the Spirit. When we think of it that way, we will realize how we also will depend on the Spirit. Because every task we are to do for the Lord, and we ask the Lord to help us. It is the Spirit who enables us. It is He who gives us the ability to do and to organize it. If truly believers genuinely want to start the church, the Spirit that will work out so that people will be saved and go to the church. There will be order and everything. But those miraculous gifts were for that particular period, and they are not supposed to continue. May the Lord help us as we think about these things.